Good morning. Today's daf in Pesachim Kuf Yud Zayin. We are on the very top of Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. We are starting first word in the Amud. The Gemara here in the 10th Perek now has taken us to the second coast and the conclusion of the second coast of the Dal Kosos, in which we are saying, we said Magid, we ended off with the first two program of Halal. We are, in tomorrow's daf, going to get to the third coast, but in the meantime, however, between the second coast, or I should say during the duration of the second coast, so we are starting Halal. We're just only starting Halal. Halal is going to be concluded after the Suda, but the first two Prakim are set over of Halal. With that in mind, the Gemara now is going to launch into an entire daf discussion regarding various details regarding Halal, and not just Halal, but Tehillim in general. The Gemara starts off with the following. Gemara starts off this morning with a really detailed question, a word that we're all familiar with. We say it repeatedly. It comes from Halal, and that's Haliluka. And is that one word? Is that two words? Is that a contraction? So that's going to be the Gemara's question, and not just Haliluka, but other words as well. Admittedly, it's a really detail-oriented question. I'm Rav Chista, I'm Rav Yochanan, Haliluka, and Case Ka, and Yedidya, Achasein. So according to Rav Chista, they're all not two words, but rather it's one word. It could be a composition of two words, right? Case ka, for example, right? Case ka, I think only comes up one time in all of Tanakh, but regardless, it comes up at the end of Parshas Bishalach after the war, with Amalek. So the Torah says that the case ka, the throne of Akash Baruch Hu, but meanwhile, in the Torah, according to Rav Chisda, should be written as one word. And the same thing with Yedidya, which is Shlomo's name, and the same thing with Haluka. So it's one word. And so, L'mayin Afkamina, when you're writing it as one word, not as two words. And Rav Amar Keska Merchavka Achasein. Now Rav is of the opinion that Keska Merchavka, other words which have the Shem Hashem at the end, but Rav says that they're really, it's one word. Rav Amar Mechavka Bilvad, and Rav just simply says regarding Merchavka. Now, Ibailu Merchavka Rav Chista Mai. So the Gemara now wants to know, Rav Chista did not mention Merchavka. What does he feel about that? One word or two words? So Teku, the Gemara leaves that unresolved. Ibailu Yedidja la Rav Mai. What about the word Yedidja according to Rav? Again, Rav left that word out. So Tashma da Am Rav Yedidja Nechlek Lishtayim. So here the Gemara has the Masorah. According to Rav, Yedidja is broken up into two words. Lefichach, Yedid Chol. The word Yedid is Chol, meaning it's a description, my beloved, and Kal Kodesh. The last two letters are actually Shem Hashem. So Ibailuhu Haluka LeRav Mai. And the word Haluka, according to Rav, what would be the halacha? Rav didn't mention anything regarding Haluka. So Tashma, the Gemara says, okay, for that we also have a tradition. Da'amar Rav Chazina Tila Debe Chaviva. So Rav over here reports that he saw the Tehillim of his uncle meaning Rabbi Chia. Dichsibahu Halu Bechad Gisa Veka Bechad Gisa. So in the Tehillim of Rav Chista, so Halu was on one line, and then the next line, so was the word Ka. And the assumption is that you don't break up a word, right? In English, we'll break up a word, but we'll put a hyphen in also. But you don't break up a word unless it's two words. So by virtue of the fact that the Tehillim of Rav Chista had Halu and Ka in two different lines, means it's two words. Upligi to Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Damar Rav Yeshua ben Levi, my Haluka, Halu bihilim arbe. So Rav Yeshua ben Levi is of the position that the word Haluka means that we're praising with many praises, meaning he's of the position that it's one word, Upligi dide adide. Now even Rav Yeshua ben Levi wasn't super consistent about this particular point. Damar Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Basar Ma'amar Shal Shevach Namar Sefer Tehillim. You go through Sefer Tehillim and you're going to find that there are 10 words of praise, 10 different words synonymous for that of praise. There is Nitzuach, Nigun, Maskil, Mizmor, Shir, Ashrei, Tehila, Tefila, Huda, Haleluka. Okay, and obviously there are subtle differences between them. Not that I'm able to articulate those differences, but obviously. But anyway, Gadol Mikulam Haluka, Shekol Shem, Veshevach, Bevas Achas. And the biggest of them all is Haluka, because not only does it have praise, but also incorporated in it is going to also be Shem Hashem, as opposed to the others, which are just Lashonos of Shevach, but don't have incorporated in Shem Hashem. So this statement of Rav Yeshua Melevi is talking about incorporation. The idea that Haluka is really a word that is, it's one word, but contracted. And that one word is both praise and Shem Hashem, but it's one word. Okay, so okay, we started off this morning extraordinarily detail-oriented regarding whether the words haluka and other words that have Shem Hashem attached to the end, the Yud Kei attached at the end, whether it's one word or whether it's two words. I'm Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Shir Shebetorah Moshe V'Yisrael Amruha. Okay, so now we are looking to a sign. In other words, Tehillim, generally speaking, is a sign to David HaMelech. Shir Shebayam. So that is a sign to Bnei Yisrael. I mean, the truth of the matter is it's part of Taurus Moshe. Anything part of Taurus Moshe is attributable to Moshe. So and his extra level of nevuah, lo kam Yisrael kamoshe od. There was no greater nevuah than that of Moshe, and the Torah that's attributed to him obviously is coming through that nevuah. But in terms of when was Shir Hashirim first said, I'm sorry, when was the Shir Hashayam first said, versus when was Tehillim first said? So that's really the discussion in the Gemara over here. So I'm Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Shir Shebet Torah Moshe V'Yisrael Amruah B'Shah Shalom Minayam. So when was the Az Yashir first pronounced? When was the first time historically that it was said over? So Bnei Yisrael crossing the sea in fleeing from the Mitzrayim. Okay, right, we're all familiar. Part and parcel. There is a discussion to be had as to whether or not the Kriyas Yamsuf is part and parcel of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Meaning, when we say over Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, do we have to include in it also Kriyas Yamsuf? Right? We all know that the seventh day of Pesach really is dedicated to Kriyas Yamsuf, and we lay in the Az Yashir on the seventh day of Pesach. That we're all familiar with. But there is a discussion to be had as to whether or not the Kriyas Yamsuf needs to also be incorporated in the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Okay. Anyway, so but fine. We all would have guessed that anyway. But the Gemara over here makes that point abundantly clear. Now Hallel Zemi Amru. Now who said Hallel? Now who's the first one who said Hallel? Now obviously where we're going to find Hallel, so that's very easy. We're going to open up a Tehillim, and towards the end we're going to find the Parakim of Hallel. So that part's easy. But who was the first one who said it? Where's the sourcing of Hallel? Now, by virtue of the fact that it's in Tehillim, doesn't it mean that it was authored by David HaMelech? And the answer is categorically no. David HaMelech put together Tehillim, 150 Parakim of Tehillim, but he wasn't the author of all 150. So many of the Parakim of Tehillim were authored earlier. Now, it's going to get a little bit strange in just a moment, because the Gemara is going to entertain the idea that some of the Parakim of Tehillim were authored later. Now that obviously that's going to be a little bit difficult for me to explain. But I'll put a blinder onto that right now. But some of the Parakim of Tehillim were authored earlier, and David compiled it and put it into Tehillim. So in terms of the Parakim of Hallel, so who did it first come out of? Which Nevi'im did it come out of? So the Gemara's first response, the Gemara's going to have a lot of responses to this question. So the Gemara's first response is, Nevi'im Shebeneim, Tiknu Lam Leisrael, Shiyo Omrim Oso Akol, Perikul Perik Vakol, Tzar Vitzar Shalosav Olehem, Ulechishinigalim Omrim Oso Agulasan. So Nevi'im Shebeneim, so you have prophets. So the Gemara's first answer is a nondescript. There are Nevi'im who put together the Parakim of Hallel, so that in the event that we do see any kind of potential tragedy or devastation, right? The word shalosav olehem, that's euphemistic. It just simply means that, God forbid, we shouldn't see them, but we have seen them. And when we are struck with the tragedy or the near tragedy, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu saves us from that tragedy, so that's the time now to take out the hallel and start saying the hallel, which of course we know is in fact the case. Right? Anytime that we commemorate a miracle to the Jewish people, so we say hallel. Right, with notable exceptions, Purim we don't say it, and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur we don't say it. But the Gemara explains why not on those particular days, but on all the other Yomim Tovim and on Chanukah, so we say Hallel. So Tanya, the Gemara here quotes the Braisa, Hayyur Rebbe Meir Omer Kol Tishbachos Amrus B'Sefer Tehillim Kulam David Amran. So when it comes to all the other Tishbachos that are said in Sefer Tehillim, so David said them. So when it comes to all the Parakim of Tehillim, so David said them. Shenamar, Kalu Tfilas David Ben Yishai. So it's about at the midpoint in the 72nd Parak of Tehillim. So it says that the word Kalu, conclusion. This is the conclusion of Tfilas David Ben Yishai. Now, being the fact that it's chapter 72 and there's a lot more to go, more than half of the Sefer to go in terms of Parakim, so it's a little bit strange and it seems to be somewhat misplaced, but the Gemara is going to make the following point. Al tikrei kalu ala kol elu. So a Korean exiv, and it's a drasha, and the drasha is that kol elu, all this was written by David HaMelech, meaning David HaMelech was solely responsible for all the Parakim of Tehillim. Okay, it's an opinion. So halo zami yamru. So what about halo? Now it's a funny follow-up question, meaning now who said halo? If we just got concluding that David is responsible for it all, so you would figure that David would also be attributable to halo. The Gemara over here says not so fast. So Rabbi Yosi Amar Lazabini Omer Moshe Yisroel Rubishah Shalom and Ayam. So halo was said over by Moshe and the Jewish people when they came up from the sea. So presumably within this position. So it was both Oz Yashir and Halo, presumably. V'chaluk and Alav Chaverv. Now, the colleagues disagreed with Rabbi Yossi and Loma Shed David Amru. V'nira Dvarav Midivrehem. And now the other opinion is that David was the first one who first pronounced Halo. But he says, but the truth of the matter is, I think he's right, I think they're not right. Efshe Yisrael Shachtos Pizchem V'not Lululavem V'lo Amru Shira. Because consider, there's a lot of time between Moshe and his generation, David and his generation, right? More than 400 years, right? Approximately 400 years is a good way to look at it. But about 400 years from Moshe to David HaMelech. And the Gemara now is going to make two arguments in terms of, it has to have been that Halo was around since the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? So the first argument of the Gemara, and hopefully it strikes a familiar chord, because we made this point earlier in the Masechta on Daf Tzadihei, right? And the argument is, I don't understand, for these 400 years, so we've been taking Dalaminim, right? It's a mitzvah in the Torah. And we've been shechting Karban Pesach. And you don't think we said Halo all those years? Okay, so like we said some 20 Dapim ago, and we'll get to say again now, right? It's an emotional argument. It's not it's a little bit hard to concretize what exactly this argument is. But in other words, Halo is so critical and so crucial in terms of the praising of Hashem. And when we're shechting Karban Pesach and we're taking Dalaminim, which again speaks to the idea that Dalaminim is a carbon-like activity. So of course we said halo at those times. What do you think? You think we didn't say halo? Okay. Davar acher pesel shomicha omei bebechi v'yisrael omei masahalo. The Gemara gives another argument, and that's pesel micha. You go to the end of Sefer Shoftim. So there, two tragic stories. The Pilegish Begiva is the last one, and the one immediately prior to that is Pesel Shemicha, where they put up an idol. And so two tragic stories that end Sefer Shoftim, which is obviously had the segue to Sefer Shmuel, because Shmuel, of course, is our need for monarchy, and if it's just a Shofet, it's not going to be enough, but anyway, fine. So Sefer Shoftim is capped with these two tragic stories, and one of them is that a significant statue went up, of Avodah Zarah, and the Gemara says like this, do you really think that the composition of Halo came during a time where we had Pesel Shemicha? So again, it's a little bit difficult of an argument to make in terms of just, I don't fully understand it, but the idea is that you had to go back to a time where there was no significant Avodah Zarah, meaning the time of Moshe, and then and only then was there could it possibly be that Halo was written at that point in time. Continuing in the Gemara, we are on Kuf Yizayin Amud Aleph. We're halfway down the Amud at the two dots. Tanu Rabban Kol Shiros V'Sishbachos Shamar David B'Sefer Tehillim. So the Prakim of Tehillim. So Rabbi Lazar Amar Keneged Atzman Amram, Rabbi Yishua Amar Keneged Tzibur Amram. So he's obviously speaking about a person or a people that confronts tragedy or possible tragedy, and Akash Baruch was there to save him. And right, this is a big theme of Tehillim. If I can oversimplify 150 chapters of Tehillim, was David writing that as a biography, meaning was he writing it regarding himself, or was he writing it about Klal Yisrael? So the Gemara brings down a machlokus between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Lazar says that he was writing it for himself, and Rabbi Yeshua says that it was for the tzibur. Now the Chachamim take a blended approach, and that is Amur's Belashon Yachid Keneged Atzman, Amur Belashon Rabim Keneged Tzibur. Any time that the parak is written Belashon Yachid in the singular, so it's about David HaMelech. Any time it's written Belashon Rabim in the plural, it's about Klal Yisrael. Nitzuach. Vinigun lasid lavo. When you see a parak in Tehillim start off with the words lam natseach or bin ginos, So that is talking about the future. Maskil al yedei Torgaman. If you see a perek in Tehillim starting with the word maskil, so that means to say that it was done through a translator. When you see a perek in Tehillim start off with the words Lidavid Mizmor, so that means that first David HaMelech experienced the Hashras HaShechinah, divine inspiration, and then he said the Shira. However, Mizmor Lidavid, so then Malamit Shamar Shira Vacha Kachshar Salav Shechinah. So that means to say that first David HaMelech engaged in Shira, and then in the mood that was created by the Shira, so then he received the Hashras HaShechinah. So that means to say that you cannot have Hashras HaShechinah, not from laziness, and not from sadness, and not from levity, and not from being lightheaded, and not from being doing idle activities. So it's only coming about through the simcha shel mitzvah, through the joy of doing a mitzvah. Shenemar v'atak chuli menagim v'aya kenagina menagim v'tiya lav yad Hashem. Okay, so it's pretty clear in the Pesukim that the Ruach HaKodesh and in this case it's probably even a level higher than Ruach HaKodesh, but the Hashras HaShechinah, the divine inspiration, can actually be brought on by a person being engaged in the Simcha Shel Mitzvah. I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm a Rav, v'chein l'dvar halacha. The same thing is true when it comes to halacha as well, meaning that you want to get clarity on a halachic point, so you can't be despondent in any of these, or idle, or any of these moods that we just described, but you have to be in a state of simcha. You have to be clear-headed and joyful. And Amar Rav Nachman v'chein l'chalon tov. And also, you want to have a good dream, so you got to go to bed anxiety-free. A lot easier said than done. I'm aware, but the Gemara says, but that's how it works. So the Gemara says, wait one second, you're telling me that you need to be in the state of joy when learning? The Gemara says, we know that the state that you need to be in when you're in front of your Rebbe is in a state of trepidation. You have to be in right? I don't want to say this too strongly, but you have to be in total and utter fear of your Rebbe. In other words, awe is probably the better word to use over here. Shenamar sifso saf shoshanos notfos more over. And al tikrei shoshanim elo shoshonim. So the pasuk and shir shirim, which the Gemara now is darshaning, not taking it at face value. So the word shoshanim could be understood as shoshonim, those that learn. And al tikra more over elam mar avar. And you have to be in this bitter state. You have to be in absolute awe of the Rebbe. So what are you talking about? Simcha. So lo kasha habiraba habitamide. So the Gemara says, okay, there's no discrepancy over here. It's not inconsistent. When you're talking about the Rebbe has to be in a state of simcha. The Talmud in front of the Rebbe has to be in the state of awe and trepidation. Or the Gemara says, both could be talking about the Rebbe. At the beginning of this year, the Rebbe's got to be, the Rebbe's got to be, relatable. He's got to be, quite frankly, a little bit funny. And then afterwards, when the shir continues and progresses, so then you get really serious. Kihad Rabba. The Gemara gives us a case study. Rabba mikamet pasach lula rabbanan. As Rabba's about to open up his shir, so Amar milsa de bichuso batcha rabbanan. So he makes a joke and everyone laughs. And lula v'sof yosef eimasa pasach b'shmaita. And then afterwards, he gets really serious and he starts learning. And the Gemara says, and that's, well, the Gemara doesn't say it, but, basically that's the hook. That's how you get everybody in, by being somewhat entertaining in the beginning. And then afterwards, you get serious. Tanu Rabbanan. The Gemara continues. And here now the Gemara is going to go back to the issue of Halal and Tehillim. And the Gemara is going to really spend a lot of time on this point. Giving us various opinions here, a lot of opinions in terms of who is responsible for putting together the parakim of Halal within Tehillim. So Halal Zami Amru Rabbi Lazar Amar Moshe Yisrael Amru B'Shasha Amdu Al Shamdu Al Hayam Hey Amru Lolanu Hashem Lolanu. So so Rabbi Lazar says that it was Moshe and Yisrael as we crossed the sea, like we said earlier, meaning that position was already expressed earlier. And it also happened to have been that we quoted earlier Rabbi Yossi in the name of Rabbi Lazar. Okay, good. So, and over here, just one small more detail, and that is, Lalanu Hashem Lalanu, meaning the Pasuk in Tehillim, which now the Gemara is placing historically by Shir Sayyam. So we're saying, Akash Baruch Hu, not for us, meaning we don't deserve it. So, Meshiva Recha Akash Baruch Hu, Lamani, Lamani Asa. And the response is, no, what do you mean? I'm not doing it for you, I'm doing it for me. I'm doing it for my sake. And Rabbi Yehuda Amar, this is going to be opinion number two. We're going to see in this Braisa seven opinions altogether in terms of who was the original composer of Hallel. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Yoshua of Yisrael, Amar B'Shash Amad, Aleihem Malchei Kanan. So it was Yoshua that put together Hallel as we were going to war against Canaan. So hey, and presumably because it's Hallel, I'll also add, and we were successful. So Hayim Amru Lolanu Meshiva Lanu Umeshiva V'chule. And again, the end of that dialogue, we say to Kosh Baruch Hu, we didn't deserve it. And Kosh Baruch Hu says, I'm doing it Lama'ani. Third opinion, Rabbi Lazar Hamoda'i Omer, Devar Barak Amru B'Shasham Adalem Sisra. So Hayim Amru Lolanu V'ruch HaKosh Meshiva V'amr Aslam Lama'ani Lama'ani Esa. So the third opinion is that it was Barak and Devara, Sefer Shoftim. Fourth and fifth Prakim are Sefer Shoftim. So that was the first composition of Halam. The first composer. Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah Omer Chizkia Visiaso Amru B'Shash Amar Aleihem San Cherev Heim Amru Lolanu Meshiva V'chulei. According to Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, was Chizkia. Now, of course, this is going to get really tricky. Chizkia HaMelech lived years after David HaMelech. Chizkia was towards the end of Bayis Rishon. So you can put him approximately, right? You'll forgive me, my numbers are not perfect, but you can put him about 300 years after David HaMelech. So, and that's really strange. Meaning that's the first one who said Hallel. So, and that means what? That Hallel wasn't in Tehillim? Now, the answer could very simply be, yeah, that's right. Meaning that David composed most of Tehillim, sans Hallel. Hallel came during the time of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. And then later on, Shekinesa Zagadola kind of stitched it all together. You could say something along those lines. I think based on the Gemara over here, based on the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, I'm not sure what else you would say. Okay, so Rabbi Kiva Omer, Chananya Mishael Azariah. Well, okay, I'm just thinking out loud, and you can, and I'll mention it quickly, but you don't, whatever. I don't know if it's correct. So what you could also say is that you could say that the Hallel was part and parcel of Tehillim, but in terms of people saying it as Shira to Kadosh Baruch Hu, it was first done by Chizkiyahu. Okay, I'm not sure if I love that. I love that suggestion, but I'll put it out there as well. Number five, Rabbi Kiva Amar Chananya Mishalva Azariah Amarua Bishasha Amar Aleim Nevuchadnezzar Rasha Hamar Mulalanu Meshiva V'chulei. So now this opinion has it that it was said by Chananya Mishael Azariah as they were thrown into the Kivshan Ha'esh and saved from the Kivshan Ha'esh. And again, same basic idea is that this is occurring years after David HaMelech and years after the composition of Tehillim. And again, you could say that it was added in later. Rabbi Yosef Glila Amar Mordechai Vastar Morbi Shasham Alayem Aman Harasha Hemamru Lolanu Meshiva V'chulei. Here the sixth opinion is that it was said by Mordechai and Esther. Okay, and obviously we are now, the Bryce over here is clearly going in chronological order, historical order, in terms of these particular geulas that were experienced. And this is now going to be the seventh and final position, and that is Nevi'im Shebeneim, Tiklu Lem Lisrael, Sheyu Omrim, Osal, Kol Perek, Kol Perek, Val, Kol Tzar, Vitzar, Shalom, Savo, Aleim, Lisrael, Ulich, Shinegalim, Omrim, Osal, Geula, Asam. So it was put together by Nevi'im. Now, nondescript, meaning I don't know which Nevi'im we're talking about, but it was put together by Nevi'im, and so that in any time in history where we're confronted with a possible tragedy and we were saved, so we have Hallel in which to say, okay. Amar Rav Chisda, Kuf Yudzayin Amar Aleph, about eight lines from the bottom of the Amud. Haluka Sof Pirka, Rava Baba Ravun Amar Haluka Resh Pirka. So you see a Pirka in Tehillim, it ends with Haluka. Now, is that Haluka the conclusion of the perek that just ended, or maybe Haluka is really the beginning of the upcoming perek? And interestingly enough, the Gemara has a debate about this issue. The Rashbam points out over here really clearly that if you have two Halalukas, so then there's nothing to discuss. Meaning, if I have a Haluka at the end of one perek and I have a Haluka at the beginning of the next perek, so then it's a no-brainer. So so one is attached to the end and the other one's attached to the beginning of the upcoming parak. That part's clear. Where we're discussing and when we're deliberating right now in our Gemara, says the Rashbam, is when I only have one Halleluka. So is that now attached to the previous parak or the upcoming parak? Machlokas Amarayim. Am Rav Chista Chazin Alu Latila Debei Rav Chanin Barav Dechzibu Haluka Bamtza Pirka. Now, so Rav Chista says, so I saw another Sefer Tehillim. So twice today we saw Amarayim actually giving testimony to Sefer Tehillim that they actually saw. And so here Rav Chista says, so I saw the Tehillim of a particular Amara, and where is his Haluka? So really interesting placement between the paragraphs. So the author of that particular Sefer Tehillim took a non-committal approach to whether or not Haluka belongs at the end of one paragraph or the beginning of the next paragraph. Amma misafka lang. Okay, so he had a doubt. So Am Rav Chanan bar Rava Hakol Modin B'Tehillah Hashem Yidar B'Pi V'Verchol B'Sar Hashem Kachol Leilam V'Ed Haluka D'Basrei Reish Pirka. So good. So at the end of Ashrei, right? We call it Ashrei, right? We know the first two Pesukim are not part of that particular parak of Tehillim. But anyway, Tehillim Kuf Mem Hey, I say Tehillah Hashem, and you don't know. I say Ashrei, everyone knows what I'm talking about. So the parak of Tehillah Hashem. So that Haluk at the end is the Basrei. It's the end of that particular parak. Just the opposite. The Haluka de Basrei Reish Pirka. So that's the beginning of the next parak. Rashi Yiras Hashem V'Kashki Navi Yecherak V'Namasta Avas Rishayim Toved Toved Haluka de Basrei Reish Pirka. And a second example, Tehillim Parak Kuf Lamed Hey, where again you have a Haluka and it's the beginning of the parak. And Shom de Beves Hashem Haluka de Basrei Reish Pirka. So fine. So the Gemara gives a number of examples where we know with clarity whether the Haluka belongs at the end or in these three examples that were just given, the Haluka belongs at the beginning of the parak. Kara'ai mosifin af es elu. Those people who are really proficient in Tanakh, right? The Kara'im, not to be confused with the Karaites over here, right? The Rashbam just simply says they're Bali Mikra. So they're people who have real expertise in Chumash. So they would add the following. Manchil b'derech yishtal ken yarim rosh. Haluka de basrei reish pirka. So the haluka that comes at the end is really the beginning of the upcoming parak. Reish is chachma yiras Hashem sechol tov l'chol osehem. Haluka de basrei reish pirka. The haluka at the end of that goes to the next parak. Neima ketanai. The Gemara says, okay. So presumably over here, this can actually be a machlokas tanaim. How so? Because consider the following. Ad heichan hu omer. So the end of Magid, let's go all the way back to our Mishnah. Okay, so by the way, that was a really long setup for a single question that the Gemara is now asking. Because we go back to our Mishnah from yesterday's daf. So you remember the end of Magid, so we start Hala. But we don't finish Hala. We're only going to go in two paragraphs. And then afterwards, we're going to have a meal, and then we're going to bench, and then afterwards, we're going to go back and we're going to finish off Hala. So anyway, so how many of the Prakim of Tehillim of Halal are we saying at the end of Magid? So you remember yesterday's daf, Machlokas, between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says that you go one paragraph in. Beis Hillel says that you go two paragraphs in. So Beis Shammai Ormim Ad Eim Abanim Smecha. Now the next word in that first paragraph is Haluka. But you'll know that Beis Shammai doesn't say that. Beis Shammai, his shita is Eim Abanim Smecha. And Beis Hillel Ormim Ad Chalamish Lamanamayim. Now, Beis Hillel's position is Ad Chalamish, which is the end of the second paragraph. So, but the part that we need to focus on is the fact that Beis Shammai says, Eim Abanim Smecha. And he didn't say the next word, Haluka. So presumably, the word Haluka is actually the beginning of the next paragraph. Okay. Now, V'tang Yidech. Now, compare that to the following Braisa. Ad Heichan Omer Beis Shammai Omim Ad Betzeis Yisrael Mim Mitzrayim. Now, this Braisa over here is going to be the same basic point that we made in the first Braisa, but it's the wording of the Braisa that we want to focus on. So Beit Shammai says you go up to, but not including, Tzeis Yisrael Mim Mitzrayim, meaning you stop at the first paragraph. But over here, in expressing how it is that we stop at the first paragraph, so in this Braisa it says you stop right when you get to the point of Tzeis Yisrael, which means that Haluka belonged to the first paragraph. And then a Beis Hillel Omrim Ad Lolan Roshem Lolan. Now the Shita of Beis Hillel, which is that you go two paragraphs in. So what we just got now in these two versions, in these two Braisas, is that in Shitas Beit Shammai, in the first Braisa, it is up to Eim Abanim Smecha, and Haluka, therefore, is the beginning of the next paragraph. And in the next Braisa, it says, you go up to B'tzeis Yisrael, but up to, but not including, B'tzeis Yisrael. which means Haluka belonged to the first paragraph. Okay, so the Gemara says, so what do you see over here? Top of the Amud base. My la ba'al kemithl gilamanda amar ad ema banim smecha savar haluka v'yish resh pirka umanda amar ad b'tzeis yishol savar haluka sof pirka. So there you have it. So it sounds pretty reasonable now that the Shita Beis Shammai is that, I'm sorry, that the subtle difference between these two brises is really a reflection of whether or not Haluka belongs to the, at the end of the, of one paragraph or the beginning of the next paragraph. So the Gemara says, not necessarily. The Gemara just simply deflects. Rav Chista Mataros Latamid Dikulay Amasav Haluka Sof Pirka. Rav Chista says, no, everyone's of the opinion that Haluka belongs at the end of the paragraph. Manda Amrad Bitsay Sishol Shopper. Now, if you work with the second brisa, you're good. Umanda Amrad Aim Habanim Smechad. Advad Bechlal. So the Gemara, and the Brisa that says that you go up to Ad Ema Banim Smecha, meaning you go up to it, and you of course say the word Haluka. Now it's a bit of a difficult way to read that first Brisa. V'neima Ad Haluka. Now, so the Gemara says, okay, so I got this great idea. If you want to articulate and express Beis Shammai's position as clearly as possible, so don't assume that we know Haluka is added. Say the word Ad Haluka. It's a pretty reasonable suggestion. V'chitem adalo yadin hay Haluka. So the Gemara says, okay, and I know what you're going to say. Look, in Halal, you have the word Haluka coming up a bunch of times. If I just simply said the word Haluka, I don't know where it goes to. So v'neima Haluka shel ema banim smecha. So the Gemara says again. If you really wanted to be super clear, so you could just simply say ema banim smecha haluka. Okay, you could have done that. So kasha, the Gemara says, okay, you're right. So even though we attempted to defend Rav Chista, the Gemara says that the defense is not the strongest defense. Rava Baravuna Mataros Latami. Now Rava Baravuna is going to defend his position. He's of the belief that haluka really is the beginning of every paragraph. The kule amaluka reish pirka manda amar ad ema banim smecha shaper. Now for him the first brace is perfect because ema banim smecha stop and the next word haluka belongs to the next paragraph. That's perfect. So banu manda amar ad b'teis yisrael savar ad velo ad bechlam. So and if you're working with the second brisa, which is b'teis yisrael, so what you're going to say is b'teis yisrael, but not even that far. Meaning you have to stop one word earlier because haluka, which belongs to the paragraph of b'teis yisrael. V'neima ad haluka, v'chitem adalo yadin and hay haluka. Now, why don't you just simply say until haluka, and maybe you'll tell me I don't know which one. So v'neima ad haluka shebet seis Yisrael. So again, the Gemara says, look, you could articulate. You could be really clear about what the stopping point is. The stopping point is going to be the haluka of bet seis Yisrael. Okay, and the Gemara says, kasha. And the Gemara says, you're right, we could have done that, and so we also don't have a wonderful defense for Rava Baravuna. So this section of the Gemara just comes to a conclusion, and that is that when you have two prakim of Tehillim with one haluka between them, so is that a conclusion or is that the beginning? And the Gemara brought down two opinions and an actual Tehillim that was presented where took a non-commitment of putting the haluka between the two. Chosem Bigula. Amar Rava Krishma Vahalog Gai Yisrael Dislusa Goel Yisrael. Let me do that a lot better. So Krishma and Halal Gal Yisrael. So when we're saying the bracha of Krishma, when we're saying the bracha that's attached to Halal, so what we're saying is Gal Yisrael, and that's past tense. And because we're talking about redemptions that occurred already historically. So when we say Kriyashma, we mean the bracha after Kriyashma, meaning, right, Emes V'yatsiv in the morning, Emes V'emun in the evening. So it caps off with the words Berachat Hashem Gal Yisrael. So that's going about things that happened in the past, as is the halal that we're saying over the miracles that happened in the past. And therefore, the bracha that ends off halal is going to be Gal Yisrael. Now, the Tzlusa, now when we're davening Shemona Esrei, and we're davening for Geula, we're obviously asking for a Kadosh Baruch Hu to redeem us. And that's why the shift. And instead of saying Gal Yisrael, we say Goel Yisrael. My time at the Rachman, you know, because that's tefillah. We're asking Kadosh Baruch Hu to redeem us. Amar Rebbe Zera, Tikidusha, Asher Kitsham, Mitzvah, Sivanu, and Ditzlusa, Kadushenu, B'mitzvosecha. And Rebbe Zera says also, past tense versus future tense is can be expressed by Kiddush. So, when we say Kiddush, meaning the Friday night Kiddush and Yom Tov Kiddush as well, so we say, Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvosav, v'tzivanu, you sanctified us, past tense. However, when we're davening, so in the Shemoneh Esrei, Kadshinu b'mitzvosecha. So we're asking a Kadosh Baruch Hu to give us, to imbue us with more kedusha. My time at the Rachmaninu, because again, it's tefillah. Amar avachar by Yaakov, etzarch sheyask yitzias mitzrayim b'kiddush hayom. Now, in kiddush, you have to make a reference to yitzias mitzrayim. So that's interesting. Meaning kiddush on Friday night, right? And presumably Yantav as well, but kiddush on Friday night. So I'll come back to the Rashbam in just a second. So the so kiddush on Friday night. And there is this requirement that you have to mention the Exodus, and that part's interesting because consider that the Shabbos obviously is Zecher L'Maaseh Bereishis. Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world in 6 days, rest on the seventh, and hence when we're Shomer Shabbos, we're giving Eidus that Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Borei Olam. But Yetzias Mitzrayim also now is integral in terms of Shabbos. So it's clear from our Gemara the answer is yes. So and the Gemara has a Gzeira Shavuot to make this point. Okay, so we have a Gzeira Shavuot linking the two. So two points to add over here. So first of all, this requirement of adding Yetzias Mitzrayim into Kiddush. So take a look at the Rashbam over here. Tzarech she'yasker yitzias mitzrayim b'kiddush hayom. Rashbam is about 5-6 lines below where we are in the Gemara. So bein b'kos bein b'tfilah shel Shabbos. So first of all, when we're talking about kiddush over here, we're talking about kiddush that we say al hakos and also in davening as well. And b'gzeir shavah de Pesach v'shar mo'adim b'mem atzinu mi'Pesach. Now this is not just true on Pesach, but in other words, by every yontif as well. So it's true both by the Shabbos kiddush and by the yontif kiddush as well. So, if he wants to get really interesting Tosfos over here, top Tosfos on the Amud. So we add into our Kiddush the word Zecher L'Yetzias Mitzrayim. And he quotes over here, second line of that top Tosfos, V'shamati, from one of the Balei Tosfos, Sheyesh B'mezhesh, L'fisha B'mitzrayim, Avdu Lahem B'Yisrael B'farach. So, we worked in Mitzrayim, and we worked really hard. The Torah's description is the word Parach. Now you take the word Parach, And you do one of the decodings, notably Atbash. So Sheheim Meleches. I'm sorry. You do an Atbash decoding of Befarach. Now, if you don't know how to do Atbash, that's fine. I'm not going to go through it right now. But anyway, the word Parach using Atbash comes out to the word Vagal. Now, the word in of itself, I don't know what it would mean, but if you take the gematria of that word, this is all Tosos. You take the gematria of the word Sheheim Meleches Arbaim Chasarachas. That gets you the number 39. And now the connection between Yitzias Mitzrayim and Shabbos. So we in Mitzrayim, so we had to do all 39 of those malachas. And now, after leaving Mitzrayim, Akash Baruch Hu says to us, good. So now you're going to, one day a week, you're not going to do any of those malachas that you did in Mitzrayim. Tosfos' connection to Kiddush and Yitzias Mitzrayim. Okay, back to the Gemara. Halfway down on Kuf Yezayin Amud Beis, Amar Rava Bar Shila Detzlusa Matzmiach Karen Yeshua De'Afterosa Magen David. Okay, we're going to talk. We're talking about redemption and subtle discrepancies between in the Shemoneh Esrei when we're asking a Kadosh Baruch Hu to redeem us and we ask us to send us a Ben David. So we say Matzmiach Karen Yeshua. So and meanwhile in the Haftorah, meaning in the brachas at the end of Haftorah, so we say Magen David. Okay, and why the subtle difference between them? Meaning, it's basically expressing the same point. So we're looking forward to the Gula, we're looking forward to Ben David. So why the subtle shift? So the Gemara doesn't explain. So here, let's go back to the Rashbam. The Rashbam says, "After Rasa, but Masechet from Tanya Lahu lebrachos daftara umifarsh Magin David Omer." So in the Haftarah, we say Magin David. I mean, we know this, but the Rashbam is about to explain why. Uvitzlusa shayach lamer tfei matzmech kam Yeshua. So, but when we're davening Shemoneh Esrei, so it's more appropriate not to say Magen David, but rather, the correct nosach is Matzmeach Karen Yeshua. So why should that be? So the Rashbam here is going to give not one, but two explanations why that should be. Mishum derachamei ninu, va'anu mevakshim shiatzmeach Karen Yeshua liYisrael. So one explanation is because look, for Haftorah, so it's not a tefillah, it's a bracha. But in Shemoneh Esrei is where we're petitioning, we're begging a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Matzmiach Karen Yeshua, Kadosh Baruch Hu you should have sprouting now out of the ground. So the Yeshua, the salvation, Mashiach. That's one pshat. And Rabbeinu Shlomo Hayomer Mishum Hachil Oshach Lamemer Betfila Magen David Shekvar Mina Magen Avraham Vetrei Chasimus Kehadadi Loshach Betfila. And then the Rashbam quotes his grandfather. Presumably, I assume he's describing Rashi over here. So Rashi gives an interesting answer, and he says, you know, really, in principle, Magen David would have been a good way to end the bracha in Shmoneh Esrei. It just happens to be that we have another bracha, notably the first bracha of Shmoneh Esrei, which ends with the words Magen Avraham. And for reasons which I can't really articulate well, you can't have that. You can't have Magen Avraham and Magen David in the same series of brachas. And that's why in Shmoneh Esrei, Magen David would have been great, but you already have Magen Avraham, so it's taken already. So that's why we say Matzmeach Keren Yeshua. As opposed to in the Haftorah, where you don't have Magen Avraham, so Magen David is appropriate. That's the second explanation why. Back to the Gemara. The Asisi, second wide line. The Asisi Lachashem Gadol Kishem Gadolin. Tani Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef sees the Pasuk in Shmuel Bezin, understands it as follows. Esh Omrim Magen David. So that's a reference to Magen David. How HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises David HaMelech that we're always going to be making reference to him, and how he's going to be eventually the progeny that comes out from David is going to be our salvation. I'm Rav Shimon Melakish Ve'aselcha Go Gadol Zeh Elokei Avraham. So the promise that was given to Avraham Avinu, so that is incorporated into our tefillah. That's Elokei Avraham. Va'avrecha Zeh Shomrim Elokei Yitzchak. And I will bless you. That's a reference to the God of Yitzchak. Ve'agad Lashmecha Zeh Shomrim Elokei Yaakov Yachol Yechos Min Bekulan. Okay, so each one of the avos is providing us a certain zechus, in which in our Shmoneh Esrei translates into, we say, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, and Elokei Yaakov. But then you get to the Chasima, and we all know what happens when you get to the conclusion of that first bracha of Shmoneh Esrei. The Havamina would be that I should say all three of the Avos. So Tamalamar, Veheye Bracha. Bechal Chosmim, Vein Chosmim, Bekulam. The Chasima only comes for Avraham and not for the other two. Now, why should that be? The Gemara does not explain. And I don't have, offhand, I do not have a suggestion. So our last discussion of this morning in the yeshiva in Pumbedisa. So Rava over here is giving us testimony. In the yeshiva Pumbedisa, so this is how they would say it. Bishabasa, Ben Bitzusa, Ben Bikidusha and Shabbos, both in Shmoneh Esrei and in Kiddush Mekadosh HaShabbos. So the correct Nusach is Mekadosh HaShabbos, which of course that's what we do. And on Yumatav and Yantav, Ben Bitzusa, Ben Bikidusha, Mekadosh Kisra V'Azmanim. What's the correct Nusach of the Chasima of both Kiddush and Shmoneh Esrei? So Mekadosh Kisra V'Azmanim. And again, that's what we do. V'Amina Luhu, but the Gemara over here has a discussion on this and a little bit of a back and forth, but we already know what the conclusion is. So when it comes to the Shmoneh Esrei, so it should be Mekadosh Yisrael for both. And then Bekidusha to Shabbasah, but when we're talking about Kiddush on Shabbos, so Mekadosh HaShabbos, then Biyumatav and Mekadosh Yisrael v'azmanim. Okay, so he disagreed. But why? So the Gemara now is going to give us a reason. Now he says, I understand you. Meaning you believe that on Shabbos we should always be saying Mekadosh HaShabbos. Because look, Shabbos is fixed, right? It's every seventh day. There's no fluctuation. There's no variables. It's very fixed. So Bein Bitzusa, Bein Bikidusha, Mekadosh HaShabbos. So we're not doing any sanctification of Shabbos. Shabbos is Mekudash on its own. So I understand your position. And you, Matavad Yisrael, who dikviyale dikama avre yarchiv akava lishane mikash yisrael v'azmanim. Now, as far as Yantav is concerned, so Yantav is going to be dependent on us. We are in charge of the calendar. The calendar is a moving target. It's variable. And so therefore, and it's all dependent on when we are both mikadosh each month and when we're mikadosh each particular year and sometimes adding a nibber year. So fine. So I understand Mekadosh Yisrael v'Hazmanim. The Kedusha of Yontif really rides on when we're Mekadosh the month. So the Gemara says, so fine. So I understand that position. What's the other position? Time of the Ditzus of the Barab and Misa Mekadosh Yisrael. Now, when it comes to davening, so where are we for davening? We're in shul for davening. We're in public. So that's why Mekadosh Yisrael. And Kiddush Biyachid, Isa B'Shabbos, Mekadosh HaShabbos, V'yamta Mekadosh Yisrael V'Azmanim. Now, when you're making Kiddush, you're at home, you're in a private area. So that's why for Shabbos, you should say Mekadosh HaShabbos, and then Yantav, you should say Mekadosh Yisrael V'Azmanim. That's my argument. V'lo'i, the Gemara gives an immediate dismissal of this argument. Susa biyachid milaisa v'kiddusha berabim milaisa. The Gemara says, I don't understand, right? Obviously, on Friday night, you should be in shul. But that's not always the case. Sometimes, for whatever reason, the person's home. And he's not going to daven at home? Of course he's going to daven at home. So in other words, you don't have to be davening in a public place. Yes, that's most of the time what's going to happen. But that's not an absolute. And the same thing with Kiddush as well, right? You're not going to be making Kiddush in public. Sometimes you're going to be having a large Shabbos meal with a lot of people, and that's Kiddusha Barabim. So this idea that davening has to be in public and Kiddush has to be in private, the Gemara says, it's not a compelling argument. Rava Savar Zil Basu Iker. And Rava says, look, meaning in defense of Rava, what Rava would say to you is that, okay, I know that there are exceptions, but I'm going to go after the norm. Ula Barav Nach is coming to Rava. Amar Kesave de Pumpadisa. The Gemara now is going to go over, actual Maisa Shahaya. Right? And Maisa Rav. And what did the Amorim actually do in terms of the proper chasima of Kiddush and Shabbos and Kiddush and Yantav and Shemon Hesra of Shabbos, Shemon Hesra of Yantav. So Ula got down in front of the Amud, meaning Nachis is a way of saying being a Shliach Tzibur. Remember, Mimam Akim, the idea is that you have to go into a depressed location. Depressed over here, not mood. Depressed actually means like low to the ground. Right? The only shul that I have actually seen do this, going back to my youth, West Orange, New Jersey. So the most shuls have the Shliach Tzibur up on an elevation. Okay, anyway. I'm sure there are other shuls that do that. So anyway, so Ula bar Rav Nach is coming to Rav Amar Kesabi de Pumpadisa, Velo Amar Le Velo Midi. So he said like Sabi de Pumpadisa. That was the first opinion that we articulated. That's the one that's the halacha. And no one protested. Ama Hadabe Rava. Now the fact that Rava was there, so that means that Rava must have recanted his position and eventually conformed to the original position, which is the halachic, which is the one that we follow. Rav Nasan Avu de Rav Huna Bered de Rav Nasan Nachis Kameh de Rav Papa Amar Kisabi de Pumpadisa. Again, another Shliach Tzibur got for the Amud. You know, back then, by the way, we made this point before, being a Shliach Tzibur was much more exciting. Nowadays, it's predictable. We have a sitter, we have a nusach, we know exactly what the Shliach Tzibur is going to say. You know, back in the good old days, so everything was not as absolutely fixed in place, and the nusach wasn't so absolutely fixed. And so therefore, you didn't know always what was going to come out of the mouth of the Shliach Tzibur. And sometimes, not here, but sometimes the Shliach Tzibur was yanked because he said something that was just not appropriate. So you understand in the context of what I'm saying. Inappropriate meaning halachically inappropriate. So Amar Kisabi de Pumpadisa v'shavchei, Rav Papa says that's perfect. I'm Ravina Anna Ikla Lasura Kame de Marema Vinachis Kame Shlicha de Tzibura Vamra Kesabi de Pumbadisa Vahavu Meshaskele Kula Alma. Okay, so I said over the Chasima of the Shmon Esrei, like Sabi de Pumbadisa, which again means like what we do. When you get to the end of that middle brach of Shmon Esrei, you say Mekadosh Shabbos. Now here, it caused an uproar, meaning apparently that's not how they said it. So Amr Lahu Shavkua Hilchasa Kasam de Bumbadisa Vilava Mashaska Lahu. So and immediately Rav Papa intervened and Rav Papa said, no, he's right. That's right. The Shemana Esrei of Shabbos ends with the words Mekadosh Shabbos, not Mekadosh Yisrael. He's absolutely right and so fine. And then no one corrected him anymore after Rav Papa's overruling of everybody's correction. Okay.
Depressed area.
Yeah. So okay. So I'm sure it's out there. Just it's not usually you don't see it. Okay. All right. Let's quickly review. Our first topic of discussion today was a detail-oriented discussion regarding whether or not the words like haluka and keska and yedidja are one word or two words. Our second topic of discussion is the authorship of Tehillim and Halal and the Prakim of Halal, right? A long discussion. It took up most of the Amud Aleph. The last discussion on the Amud Aleph was the word Halukah, when there's only one Halukah that is sandwiched between two Prakim of Tehillim, is at the end of one paragraph or the beginning of the next paragraph, Machlokas Amarayim. Next topic of discussion, and that one was actually also a little bit on the longer side. Next topic of discussion is that Gaal Yisrael versus Goel Yisrael. Gaal is past tense, and that's for Shema and for the Sof Brach of Halal. Goel Yisrael is for the future. When in Shmoneh Esrei we say Goel Yisrael because we're asking for redemption. Next topic of discussion today, Yitzias Mitzrayim incorporated in, as part of Kiddush. You gotta mention Yitzias Mitzrayim, Zechel Yitzias Mitzrayim in Kiddush. Magen David, Magen Avraham, that was our next discussion. And we contrasted Magen David to Matzmech Karen Yeshua. Okay, and the Rashbam's two reasons why in the Shmoneh Esrei we don't say Magen David. But in the Haftarah we do say Magen David. And then finally our last discussion this morning, was Mekadosh Shabbos versus Mekadosh Yisrael. What is the proper chasima for the Shmoneh Esrei in Shabbos? So, okay, major machlokas among Amorayim, capping off with the halacha like what we do, which is Mekadosh Shabbos.